podcast explores prose, poetry, and history to bring you real-life stories about creativity and motivation. Every week, we will take you on a journey through the human experience, shaping inspiring stories and conversations to uplift your spirit and inspire you. Today, we have a young writer, Matthew D. Albertson, joining us as a guest, who has started writing not long ago, but writes beautiful prose and poetry. We will hear him talk about his creative journey, how he believes on rejection strengthening him as a writer, and some of his wonderful prose and poetry that he has shared with us in this discussion. Welcome, Matthew, to Stories and Stanzas.
Thank you for having me, Abra.
Fantastic. So would you like to introduce yourself for our listeners?
Yes. My name is Matthew D. Albertson. I am an emerging writer who is located in the Portland area in the state of Oregon in the United States. I've been writing for about a year and a half now. I had my first piece, some prose, published by Sincere Dalliances back in, March of 2023. And I'm still writing today. I've caught the bug.
That's very good to hear. In these sessions, what I generally like to hear and ask people is about their inspiration towards writing, their discipline towards writing, and what sort of challenges they face. So we kind of try to explore those areas. So you're okay with that?
Absolutely.
Yep. And you being an emerging writer, I'm sure that resonates with some writers who are starting up now. And everyone will have some kind of takeaway from these discussions. And I'm finding it very refreshing and very interesting to know the stories of so many creative people around the world. So thank you for coming onto the show. The first thing I wanted to hear from you is, what do you feel about being a writer in today's world?
Being a writer in today's world, I think, this is a world where we are overwhelmed with information, and being a writer is being someone who crafts information for others. You're creating a story or creating something that is to be shared, that is a signal in the noise, something that creates resonance with others. And that is a challenging thing to do, especially when for those who happen to be in marginalized positions or in this current technology race of the writer versus the ChatGPT.
This race is, everybody is talking about it, and it is, we will only know what future has to say, but definitely it's encroaching into the territory of writers, don't you think?
It certainly is. And the companies which train AI have used copywritten material in their training programs, which is literally stealing intellectual property. One such example is EG China Media Group, which recently aired the pilot of a show that was produced entirely using generative AI. And I believe that this is what I mean when I say that it is a literal race between we humans and those humans who want to use machines in our place.
Yes, I find it pretty alarming and disturbing, and especially when I see what is happening in the media industry, the kind of images it can create and kind of graphics it can create. And that's why I have published two books, but I insisted that my designer uses a traditional watercolor to create the book cover. So yeah, I definitely agree with you there. I wanted to hear what is your inspiration towards writing, like how you got started.
Well, what initially inspired me to pursue writing was this weekly sort of misadventures that I have with a group of friends playing Dungeons and Dragons. And I find myself very engrossed in the story and laughing along the way. And I'd love to share that experience with readers someday. But there was a sort of collaborative storytelling I found in that sort of game. And over time, that led me to try to take a creative writing course to explore that. And from there, at the end of the creative writing course, one of the pieces that I wrote, the professor suggested I send it to Sincere Dalliances, and they took it, and here I am.
You're right. So when you write, like, do you write only on a specific genre, or like, do you write prose or poetry? How do you go about it?
I write both prose and poetry. At this moment, I use threads quite a lot when I'm writing poetry and micro prose. I participate in a little activity called VSS, or Very Short Stories on Threads. Every day we're given a word to use or to inspire a story that we have to create using 500 characters, which I don't participate in it every day, but it is a nice way to build up the habit. But besides that, I do have a couple of larger works in progress that are demanding my attention, that I return to them eventually.
Yeah, good. I asked this, and I've seen this in your response, and I found it very interesting. You said your main goal is to receive 100 rejections, and I find that very interesting, because I get rejected here and there all the time. And this, I think, is a foundation for many people writing in today's day. So from a writing goal perspective, can you talk about it a little bit more, like about the rejections, handling them, and maybe learning from them, etc.?
Absolutely. So I have been very sensitive to the notions of rejections for my entire life. I feel like quite a few people out there are, especially when you are putting something that is so tied to your soul as your own writing. And to that end, I decided, I saw that on Threads, an acquaintance of mine posted just that she had planned to, in 2023, to receive 100 rejections. And I asked her about it, and Kate said that it was actually tied to creating a no-lose situation, and I liked that, and I decided to incorporate that myself. And essentially, it means that you create this goal of putting yourself out there and getting rejections, so that even in the process of getting that terrible email that we don't want your work, you're still building yourself towards something.
Definitely. I mean, in my podcast, I have a specific section where I am talking about handling failures. Like that's a kind of ongoing series in which some of the episodes I'm doing myself, and for some I have guests joining and sharing their views. And I think it is very important for us in today's world, and especially in the creative space, to understand failure. So thank you for sharing that.
Of course.
If I may share just a bit more. Sure, definitely. Go for it.
One other, so long as we are discussing failure, I have a way of trying to rephrase rejection to declination. And declination as a word, I'm not sure if it's because it's a bigger word or not, but it has less of a sting than rejection. And for those who may be listening, who may be themselves writers, they may want to rephrase that as well.
Definitely. I will take a look at that myself. So the next thing I wanted to ask is, I mean, I see a lot of people have these writing goals and writing schedules. I want to write these many words, etc. So how do you pace yourself in that space? Do you have a writing schedule? Do you want to get to certain point in future?
Well, at this point in time, I am also a student. So that does take quite a bit of time, and I have to do some writing in order to be a student. But for the creative side of things, using the very short stories, the VSS has been very helpful. I also carry around a little Moleskine notebook, because you never know exactly when you might think of the right or a certain combination of words that you might later forget, or a particular inspiration or scene that you see that you want to incorporate.
It's something I do myself as well. Most of the times, inspiration strikes me is when I'm waiting for a train.
I've had that happen a couple of times myself. It's something about trains.
It is, yes. I wait in the underground station, and sometimes if I have to wait, I feel like, oh, this is something I should write it down. I don't do it
then
very...
You see the other people waiting.
Yeah, exactly. And seeing the different faces, as in I feel that every face has a story behind it, and something that strikes me, I feel like, oh, I have to write it down for sure. The next thing I wanted to hear is, I mean, is there a unique experience about your writing? I know you talked about your game and the learning from there, but is there anything unique that you have come while writing, or finding inspirations that you'd like to share with the audience?
I think that a unique experience that I have had that maybe others have not is that while I was at Portland Community College, I had the privilege to be on the editorial staff for their literature magazine, Alchemy, for Alchemy issue 49. And that really gave me an interesting look on the inside and outside of how these publications function, and what values they have, and how they sift through the hundreds and hundreds of submissions. And really, it put a new value on just how hard it is to say to someone, no, we can't have your work because this is a physical publication and we can only have so many pages. And in the process of doing that, we on the editorial staff were encouraged to write pieces to submit for our co-editors to judge. And my piece, the Wellington methodology, which is a sort of a sci-fi gothic piece, managed to pass and be accepted. So it is a very different thing for your peers to recognize you like that, and it is a very different thing for you to have to judge your peers. And it may be an experience that I hope some of your listeners get to experience one day.
I'm sure they will. There's something that I find personally very challenging, and I hear from other writers, as in who are self-published, that to stay relevant, they have to actively share their work, they have to be reachable on social media, and they have to do sort of their own marketing. How do you feel about that, like being a writer who is starting out recently? So how do you relate to that? You find it challenging, you find it easy, or you don't do it? I would like to hear your thoughts around it.
So I do not believe that one has to actively share their work. It, however, is useful if one is looking to be make this their job. In order to turn a profit, one has to necessarily have a portfolio for any interested agents or companies to actually peruse. So while it's not strictly necessary, I think that having that trove is actually beneficial. It is not something that I have, but in my case, I am not at this point trying to make this my whole job. I am a student.
Yes, what I was asking more about, like, getting your words across to the whole world, like telling people that, in some cases, of course, if you're represented by an agency, they do most of the work. But I feel that, a lot of people find it very challenging that, they want to focus on writing, but not on marketing. But they have to do a little bit of selling to stay relevant, which is a challenge for them.
I fully agree. I fully agree.
Coming to the writing process or the creative process, I wanted to hear your thoughts about, like, do you feel that the mental health, which is a burning problem in today's world, that it affects writing, or it's the other way around, like creative process, it gives you space to let out and be yourself.
I think when it comes to the idea of whether your creative process affects mental health or vice versa, I think that might be a bit simplistic. Mental health may affect writing. Writing may affect mental health. Both may be, neither may be. I have certainly written from the wound, as the phrase sometimes called. And in my experience, it has been cathartic. But those pieces are pieces that I'm not about to go and send to literature magazines. They are pieces for me and me alone. I have also found myself actively staining the page with my tears while I'm just writing something that I have no particular connection to, just because of the events that are happening to the characters. I've also described great personal tragedy, described war zones in my writing without feeling a thing. So it can be any of them, but in any of those cases, we must, of course, take care of ourselves. And that includes writers. We cannot be beholden to these writers' demons. It is important to take a step back or to compartmentalize. And it's not going to diminish your writing if you do so. But if it will serve you, you should be taking care of the person who's holding the pen.
Yes, I hear you, and that's a interesting perspective. And why I ask this, because a lot of times I hear that, you know, that you mentioned the phrase written from the wound. That is what a lot of writers relate to, so which is why I was keen to hear your thoughts. So you said you write prose and poetry both, and wanted to check if you'd like to read something for the audience, anything that you have written.
Sure, yes. Here is Whiling by Lake Herald by Matthew D. Albertson. I guess I sat myself down because there I was, sitting, alone. Wasn't sure where at first. Muscle memory had me on autopilot. I realized after a moment that I was at my usual spot, on the bank of Lake Herald, my Grampy's lake. Lake might be generous. It was only 30 square feet, if that. More a pond. It had been at least a decade since I'd last sat in the grass and mud. The thickets would grow 4 feet high if you'd let them, and boy, did the city let them. As I sat, what began as a quick breather became 10 minutes, became an hour, and as the sun stole itself away behind the dug firs, I heard the familiar chorus of frogs and crickets and a light hum of mosquitoes. Felt kind of like I was back in 2010 again. Only difference was that now this place wasn't my farm, but a fancy schmancy Polygon Co. development for middle-class yuppies. Only difference I cared about, anyhow. But I was the only one at the lake who cared. The frogs and the crickets and the mosquitoes sang on like nothing had changed, because for them, nothing had changed. Because that's what they do, and damn it all, dusk is the time to sing. They've got no care for what residential zoning Bull Mountain was. Again, mountain, generous term. Or that dick measuring contests between neighbors was polluting the silence. I guess I started crying. Odd for a stoic. God knows I didn't want to be around the place where my childhood home used to be, where these cookie-cutter plywood shacks are now. What verisimilitude of a home those were. But that wasn't what touched me. I think it was because I realized that I wanted to have a life like those animals had, short as it was. They didn't have to question or plan or doubt. They just were. And they were brilliant. Never thought I'd express such, especially given my experience with corporatists. But I think whatever financial calculations caused those soulless to keep Lake Herald. Throughout the ravages of puberty, throughout a series of meaningless conflicts caused or worsened by teen angst, my little spot, my usual spot, remained a moment of sanity in an insane world. And here it remains still. I closed my eyes. I could see memories of a time my neighbors in this 10-acre lot were horses and cows. I could still feel the scratching of their tongues as they would eat apples out of my hand. This moment of sanity felt just as brief as those good old days I remember. I stood, brushing off some of the mud that was beginning to cake on, effort in vain. Since when did this jaded old curmudgeon care to drink the poison of nostalgia? I remember saying to myself. As you can see, I'm in my late 30s. But the rest of the self-reflection was accurate. I breathed in the muck of the lake once again, tears dried, heart resolute, knowing it could be the last. Well, Sisyphus, thankfully my parents were not so cruel as to name me such. You know the insanity of the world. Perhaps it is time to embrace the absurd.
That is beautiful. Thank you so much for sharing your words. Would you like to read anything from your poetry?
Yes, I will go ahead and read something that hasn't been You know what? I will go ahead and read something new, if that is okay with you.
Sure, that's absolutely all right. It's your space. You, whatever you want to share with us, that's fantastic.
All right. Here is a piece called Jewelry. The soul is a gem, crystallized essence, each with its own lustrous imperfections, born tectonically. So loved for our shine, arbitrarily deigned, hands rip us from our home. Do they value us, or do they value us? Grind and cut and polish for unknown purpose, adorned beautifully to this future where chipped pieces of myself fall, eschewed as dust on the ground. What carat of me remains is worn for another. My pretty facets burn. That shimmer is my blood. That shine is my scream, taxidermied alive.
Thank you. That was really powerful. We have reached towards the end of our discussion, and
thank you again.
As a writer, just the last thing. So, would you have any advice that you'd like to maybe give yourself, or maybe to the writers who are starting out now?
What makes a writer isn't being accepted by others as a writer. It's the process of writing. But your writing process is unique to yourself, and your writing is intrinsically tied to the stuff that you've read and the stuff that you've watched. So if you want to improve your writing, you need to consume the writing of others. For instance, say, being on a social media site is one thing, but cracking open John Donne or Mary Shelley is another. And I think that combining the two is one of the things that will be most beneficial to the writers of today and the writers of tomorrow.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing that. It was really deep and meaningful. And thank you once again for coming to Stories and Stanza, share your beautiful words and your writer's journey.
Thank you again for providing this platform for us.
So yeah, I have paused recording now, okay, and I will edit this and put it up on the podcast maybe later tonight or tomorrow morning. I have to get back to work. It was really nice chatting with you. Okay. And I wish you all the best for your writing. Okay.
Thank you.